Okay, we are embarking on something that is really quite different in our approach at this point of time. So instead of looking into your favorite book, Deuteronomy, we are going to look at other possibilities and other things. But the whole challenge is not just book interest, but to really expand the idea of considering other things. I think to me that is something that he wants to look at. And of course, the best example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The challenge is how to understand this. And I think this is something that we want to keep working on. And that will really, really help us to at least get a better feel and focus on the Lord's work. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will bless us as we take time to think in terms of how we can make our lives meaningful. And we pray that you will teach us how we can serve you in every way possible. Help us to find meaning in what we are doing. And we pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's interesting to see the things that could be done, could be explored. In the U.S. today, they have got a group of people who will actually help through DNA samples to find your lost relatives, or you didn't know you have half-brothers, half-sisters, all over the place. I thought it was interesting to see. So this person was sort of given away and never knew how, you know, doesn't know what her real family name is because adopted. So the parent, the foster parent says, listen, we will tell you at the appropriate time. Well, question is, what is the appropriate time? And year after year after year after year, and she got married, and you know, they were still not told who she was. So somebody took a blood sample and sent it to this particular, science group. And they said, then within weeks, people began to write to her. Hi, I'm your sister. Hi, I'm your brother. Our DNA match, we are related by blood. And so, because they began to send her parcels, greeting them, and they begin to realize they're probably related because who else would know about her childhood days except people like that? So that is always interesting to figure out. So I'm just astonished as to what people can come up with reference to helping people to stay, be connected, stay connected. An absolutely fascinating thing to study, but it was always a bit unnerving because you it happened that this family turned out to be a nice family. What happens if the person turned out to be not a good family? But it is always a challenge, but it's a new way of exploring. And when we take a look at this whole idea of connectedness, of relationship and so on and so forth, this is where we look at the Gospels and how people really want to read the Gospels and how can we understand this. And the best thing to do, seriously, is to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, it's not just simply how do we evangelize, it's why are we doing it? Right? So this is something that you need to do. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I so concerned about other people? Why do I care at all? Well, this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. And so we began with Matthew, how Jesus reached out to people, how he came into the world, and so on and so forth. Tonight, we are going to take a look at this whole idea of how sonship plays that role. Now, it is a very fascinating area of study, this idea of sonship. Can I practice sonship with reference to leadership? That's what Jesus did. But is it limited to that? No. Right? So when we think in terms of what sonship really, really, really is, we have to ask ourselves. You see, because in any kind of ministry, the question is, can you sustain that ministry? How do you sustain it? And one of the ways in which you sustain it is actually the practice of sonship. Right? I mean, this is something that you look at very, very carefully. You read about how companies fold, collapse. And you ask yourself, why? How come this thing has been going on for 30, 40, 50 years, and then suddenly they collapse? Why can't they just keep going, for example, but they collapse along the way? Right? Unfortunately, it's just like in South Korea, they call it the chaebol. This idea of the chaebol? Literally, it's a family-owned business thing. Where somebody in a family became a patriarch and left a lot of funds, and then everybody, you know, all this cousin here, that cousin there, his uncle here, the auntie there, and they all control everything. Right? And they control a lot of things. But somewhere along the way, some peanuts thing, people get angry and the whole thing, it just blow. Recently in South Korea, the same thing happened again. But this time, it was something else. But it was a big problem. See, the father did not designate a will to whom things should go. And now the family is debating all over again. Who owns it? Who has it? It's a real problem, right? So there's one other person who was a cult leader, Sun Myung Moon. The Moonies, they call them. You have no idea how rich this person is. One day he was walking in town, in the U.S., I think it was in New York, and he came across the Hilton, and he liked it. He told his guys, buy it. He bought the entire building, just like that. That is to show you what he's like. And see, so when he passed on, and he did not leave behind a will, the problem is that he has got billions worth in South Korea. Right? And he's got two sons. And both of them are opposite each other. So I happen to know it because one of the managers of the sons wrote to me. I have no idea why. We want to explain to you what happened. I'm representing this particular son. This one is a more church-based thing, but we also own shopping centers and all kinds of things. We want to explain. Would you like us to explain further? No. Thank you very much. But you see, the problem is they do not understand what sonship is all about. And so when the father passed on, the sons will do whatever they want. They do not understand sonship. So if we want to succeed in any kind of ministry, in any kind of outreach, in any kind of ministry that we can sustain, learn one thing from the Lord Jesus. Practice sonship. It is not what you want, it's what the Father wants. It's what the Father wills, it's not what you wish you want to do. See, those are the things that Jesus had to learn. And it is not everybody. So in Isaiah 1, the Lord said, I have brought up children, I have nourished them, but they rebel. See, one of the biggest problems of Israel in chapter 1 in Isaiah was the problem of they never learned sonship. So everybody was wanting to do his own thing. That's why in the U.S., very often they will tell you that seminaries exist, about 50 years. 49, they say. Why? Because the next generation of leaders will change things. Unfortunately. Right? So Westminster is a very, very rare occasion where that school runs 90 years and still stays the path. It's a very rare occurrence. The people are committed. These are our founding fathers. These are the truths they proclaim. These are the truths they upheld. And you know what? We are going to uphold them still. Well, that was their commitment. This is Gresham Machen's position on the basics of the truth, what they call the fundamentals of the truth. And they basically hold fast to those fundamentals 90 years later. They still read his books, which is an interesting thing to take note of. So this is important for us to understand. What is that all about? So we're going to begin and start thinking about it. How can we understand sonship? Okay, so let's look into the scriptures for a little bit so that as we, let's look at the book of Isaiah first. What sonship was not. Let's take a look. Okay, so in Isaiah chapter 1, we see this. Right in verse 2, the first one is just an opening line. The second one, hear heavens, give ear earth. The Lord has spoken. I have nourished, brought up children. But these have rebelled, they have rebelled against me. Look at verse 4. Children who are corruptors, unfortunately. Right? So the challenge of this problem is very, very real. Chapter 3, verse 4. I will give children to be their princes. Babes shall rule over them. Now, we have children mentioned once, twice, three times. Question, what kind of children is God looking for? What kind of children is God looking at? That is a big thing. Right? So the Lord may nourish, the Lord may provide, the Lord may bring up. The question is, what kind of children? And the kind of children we're looking at is an internal problem. Right? So the question is, what kind of children? So this is a historic, a prophetic word. The children don't grow up so well. So to have the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned as son has significance not only for Jesus himself, but significance for Israel as an example, significance in every sense of the word. So this idea of sonship is a doctrine that must be given due consideration. So when you look at Jesus, what do you see? That's why truly this is a son of man. Truly this is the son of God. When people queried him, they say, is he not the son of Joseph? Right? Disparagingly. But in reality, he was everything God wants to see his children to be, a son. So if we don't practice sonship properly, we've already failed. Guarantee, the future will fail. See, the problem in the world today is sort of do your own thing. Do what you please. Do what you like. This is a new day. New broom sweep clean. That is the problem. How do you keep going? How do we start with Bethany? How do we keep the spirit of Bethany going? What is it? And that word is sonship. Not new ideas, not newfangled ideas. Okay, let's explore this. We never did this. We never did that. It's just a very strange thing. Some years ago, I used to think and be concerned about people who were reaching the world by radio. So one Philippines person came over, flew over to Singapore and asked, he says, we have watched your, you know, your pulpit ministry and all that. We'd like you to come in. Can you help us be our regular Bible teacher on your radio? I don't like radio ministry, seriously. I have tried radio ministry before. Long ago in Singapore, we used to have an evening service, you know. Long before you were born, the younger ones, you didn't know there was such a thing. So at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, they will announce who is speaking for that day. And one of them happened to be me. This is Pastor Charlie from this church, and he will be speaking. So we will go to Caldecott Hill, get a choir to sing there. Until there's so much movement, I said, don't want to just get some recorded Kim and then play it, and I will speak there. This easier. So they said, listen, we're going to record you, and this is going to be music, and we're all together 20 minutes. The moment you go 21 minutes, you can talk, but it's off the air. I never liked that experience because I like to talk to people. I can see them. But then after a while, I said, please don't put me up anymore. Anyway, they discontinued it. So it was the right time. Didn't want to go. So there was just no more. And so they asked me. I said, really, I am not interested. He said, Manama, we can record you when you are at home. Send us recording. We will air you. We give you time. And then I said, I'm really, really not interested. I really don't want to do it. Because but then such a ministry, you know, our broadcast, we got a powerful station. We broadcast the whole of the Philippines. In fact, we broadcast over to China. And we broadcast to other countries. Why don't you just come and be a part of us? And I said, no. So, and some years ago, things began to change. They always asked for support as well. So this time, the support came in a different way. So instead of asking, these are our needs, these are our challenges, can you help us? The thing began to change. And it began to change, it says, do you like to play golf? So if you send this amount of money, we will give you somebody who is higher, more well-known in the golfing world and play with you. Immediately, I stopped support. Because I am not interested in, if you give this money, this amount of money, you have a golfing clinic with this person, or you have a golfing partner in that person. In other words, it's you're doing it so that you get a privilege of playing golf with it. See, this has become the way of the world. This is no longer sonship. I'm not against anybody who plays golf, no problem. If that's what you want to do, hit a ball, walk, hit a ball, walk. That is not what I want to do with my life. I really rather. And so some people, they're like that. And I hit a ball. And then get angry, the ball lost in the water, and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, I have no problem. If you want to, that's what you want to spend your time, not a problem with me. But please do not do this with reference to, go in, get support, play golf, get support. I mean, to me, that sounds a little bit funny. You see, so this is a real challenge. The world keeps changing all the time, right? So just this morning, I received another, can you please, and this is evangelism with children and all that. We've got Easter Bunny coming up. Would you like to come to this Easter Bunny party? Why? Why are we doing all these funny things for? See, the key word is sonship. What you are, what you do. Why am I reaching out? Why do I care? What am I doing? One word, because I am son. This is my father's house. I want to be interested automatically. This is what my father's will is. I am going to do it. That's it. Just simply sonship. Right? I mean, this is something that we were really, really concerned about. What is this thing called sonship? And this is, to me, that's important. So Psalm 2, relating to the Psalm. And this is where the Lord says, see, a lot of these things change people, right? For example, verse 2, anointed. Okay, verse 6, my king. Okay, you are my son. Now, it may not look as if it's very, very sinister. But in reality, when people are anointed, when people are appointed, when people come into authority and power, they can change. Suddenly, you are the person in charge. Suddenly, you are now the king. And bad things can happen. That's what happens. So when Jeroboam became king, he was agitating for justice. He's saying to Solomon, he's saying to Rehoboam, listen, our people have not been paid properly. Can you give us some justice? Can you help us? Please. And so he had to run away in Solomon's time. He came back and Rehoboam was worse. And so God said to him, I will make you king. You will be anointed. You'll be the next king. He began so well. What happened to him? It corrupted him. That's the old saying, that power corrupts. And it can corrupt anybody. It can any position. Anything, any ministry even, can be affected adversely if you're not careful. Right? So you've got to guard yourself. What is it I want to make sure that I want to do all the time? Sonship. Right? I may be anointed, I may be appointed, I may be given authority and position and everything else. But what is the thing that is the most basic, important of all? Sonship. Not kingship, not anointedness, sonship. This is what Jesus learned. This is what he practiced. So when he reached out to people, it's just tremendous power that is there. I mean, to be able to heal, to be able not to be corrupted by such power is really, really amazing. Right? So the richest African lady today in whole of Africa, right, is a person whose father had been president of the country for 38 years. And so there are 700 documents against her to say that she was on the take all the time. So she became the most powerful, the richest woman in the whole continent of Africa. Right? So when we talk of sonship, it's also daughtership. The whole idea is that you can, at the end of it all, if you're not careful, you can end up with a lot of problems on your hands. What is your challenge, therefore? Key word, sonship. Let me practice sonship. And this is important for us to understand. So I practice sonship, son of Singapore, in India. So I had took some sweet wrappers in the local bin, just throw on the floor. I mean, everybody does. What's nope, I cannot. Why? Because I'm son of Singapore. I don't throw things around in Singapore. Neither will I do it there. In Myanmar, before they banned smoking, the people who smoke in a Myanmar airport, half of them Singaporeans. Because there you can do whatever you want. Right? You can do whatever you want. Why won't you do it? Because I am son of Singapore. So I practice it, sonship. So it's the idea of sonship. It's wherever you are. So what am I? Sonship. Practice it very consciously. You are my son. Not you are my king. Not you are my anointed. Not you are my Messiah. You are first and foremost son. That is absolutely ingrained, literally. And that is important for us to understand. Okay? Now, sonship, this is my beloved. So Matthew 3. So one is prophecy, prediction. The question is whether we can follow all the way through sonship. That is another story entirely. Right? So this is what we are. So obviously the Lord is well pleased. But the ministry is not predicated on how successful you are, but simply because you are son. That is amazing to think about. Right? So this is something that we don't want to take for granted in any way at any time. Right? So the one of the key texts that we must look at is to look at Hebrews chapter 5. Let's take a look at this idea of doctrine of sonship. Okay? And you see, the book of Hebrews is important in more ways than one. See, in the Gospels, you have the activities of Jesus, you have the deeds of Jesus, you have some of the teachings of Jesus, but you do not have a theological view as to who Jesus really is. Hebrews provides that perspective. Right? So how do we understand the Lord Jesus? See, none of these things are given to us in the Gospels. For example, chapter 5. Okay? He is going to be introduced as the high priest. When did Jesus become high priest? When he began his earthly ministry. Well, how did he learn how to do this? Okay, this is the high priest. What he can have compassion on the ignorant who are going, those who are going astray. He's subjected to weaknesses and everything else. Verse 4, no one takes his honor to himself, he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So Jesus did not say to him, listen, I am now high priest, I anoint myself. That's not how he works. And so he learned, right? Verse 5, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now that is interesting. Because if you see this in the light of Psalm 2, right? Then there is the idea that he was meant to be king, the anointed. Now Hebrews 5 applies it to not kingship, but to high priesthood. So now we have a dual role. So now we have got two aspects. One, he is going to be king. Two, he's going to be priest. In both, he is essentially son. That is what ties the two together. See, that is difficult. See, when people become king, they're people of authority, of honor, of power, they do not actually understand this idea of sonship. But what is it all about? It's not an easy thing to practice. That's why we are reading in the papers today, Prince Harry, who is just now Ordinary Harry. Right? He is no longer Prince Harry, His Royal Highness. Okay, you can still say his, but the royal part and the highness part is gone. That's how it is. I mean, you have to understand this. You see, for example, Ping Hui looks after the royalty. And so his men will come to him and say to him, you must address his majesty, you know, royal high. You cannot call him, hello, O king. You cannot say that. You cannot say, hello, O queen. You cannot say that. You must address in the proper way. And then the son, small fellow, teeth problem. A tooth problem. You must say, Your Royal Highness. You cannot change from that. That is protocol. Because of what? Sonship. She's going to lose all that. Just like that. Right? Being son is a lot of responsibilities. He is paid millions, pounds, just to be son, to fulfill. No, thank you. Can he come back? No. Once you make the decision, it's over. You see, the problem is, how do you be son? Not easy, because I want to be son, but I don't want the trappings. Doesn't work. I want to be son, but you know, I want to do my own thing too. Can't. You are going to be son and king. You're going to be son and high priest. You have a choice? No. That is sonship. Sonship is the ability to look at the fact that you may not have choices, but you know what? It's okay. Why? Because I am son first. And if my Father's will is for me to be son, so I shall be son. Why? Because I enjoy sonship. Not kingship necessarily, not priesthood necessarily, not prophetic ministry. Not that they are not important, but the key is sonship. Ask yourself when you're serving, why are you doing it? Why are you doing what you're doing? Is sonship there? That is the challenge. You see, when we do what we have to do, it's basically sonship. And it, to me, I'm always very deeply moved when I see people on the streets. You know, here is a young, well, not young man anymore. He is probably in his 50s. You know, and he's going to hospital. And he holds the hand of his old mother. Certainly not his girlfriend. Right? This old lady is frail and sickly, and he attends to her with such devotion. That is sonship. Or, for that matter, and I saw it just recently, a man looking after another man. Sonship. You know, and he will hold his hand. Seldom you see a man holding another man's hand like that. India is very common, but here it's not. And so you see this. You see, this part of sonship is actually very well practiced in old China. Because sometimes you get really deeply moved by how this man, they live up in the hills, and they climb 100 over steps down to bring the mother to hospital. And he will be strapping her on his back, carried her down, strapped on his back, all the way, walk for miles to the nearest clinic, attend to her, bring her all the way back. Why? Sonship. You see, in Chinese, it's called filial piety. But actually, it is just simply sonship. And there are many, many stories of filial piety that we look at, like, really funny. You see, not very great stories sometimes. There is a boy who goes out there. It's a warm night. Mosquitoes are around. So he takes off his shirt so that the mosquito will bite him and not the parent. What makes you think the mosquito will only bite you? See, he doesn't know his science, but he's a good son, right? So there are situations when the boy puts his stomach onto the ice down there so that he warms up the water down there, and then the fish will bite him, and then he'll come out, catch a fish to feed the father and the mother who are old. See, all these are stories which we all think, wow. You see in Chinese funerals, all those acts down there, this all portrayed, 12 acts of filial piety. This is well known. What are they teaching? Sonship. This is what sonship is all about, except that this is at a much higher level. You see? So it's not a question of just simply doing basic things, dancing around so that the parents can be entertained and things like that. To me, some of those things are a little bit not very wise, a bit funny. I'm 40 years old, but my parents are older. So I still dance around, dress a little children's costume so the children, parents will be pleased. Maybe they think you're funny. I mean, that is how it is with filial piety, all the acts of those things here. And you can read them, if you read them as a child for the first time, it sounds very good. When you read them again when you're adult, not so great. But when you understand sonship as Jesus practiced it, then you begin to realize, why did Jesus do what he did? Sonship. So when we give, Chinese New Year coming, the older people are coming, why do we serve them? Why do we give them good things to eat? Why do we have abalone given to them? What are we practicing? Sonship. So that people will look at it and say, you know what? This is what it is. See, when Chinese New Year, people wish, may good luck come, may better things come. Why? My approach is Psalm 103. I want to be thankful. I will bless the Lord. That's what it's all about. We want to give thanks to God because He has been a good Father and He has provided. How should we respond? Thank God because He has been a good Father and we are true sons. You see the whole idea of it all? See, that's what gets through to a lot of Chinese people because they understand the concept of sonship. So if ever we want to reach an older person, what's the best way to reach out? What's the best lesson to learn? To blessings? Not that it's not important. Not that it's not valid. But how about sonship? And that's important. Right? So this is something that we want to understand why Jesus did what he did. And God was pleased with him. Okay, so in chapter 5, this is very important. Okay, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. And that is a hard thing. In Thailand, this present king had the hardest time. Right? The old king was one who was dearly revered by the people. That's why they have got this special law that says you cannot speak against the majesty. It's called the largesse ministry thing. You cannot speak against the king because it is his majesty. But this particular son was always away from home. He was always living literally a life like a prodigal son. Right? He did what he wanted. He never liked any idea of what it means to be son because you are so restricted in your movements. You cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do many things until his father was dying and told him, you must come back. You must come back. You must take over the leadership of the in a country. You must be the next king. Or the whole thing is just going to be history. Right? And so he came back. And this is why his coronation took so long. He couldn't just immediately do it. Couldn't. There were people who were watching, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to get used to it, being king. Though he was son, he had to learn obedience. That is required. Same thing in old emperor history of Japan, same thing. Thailand, same thing. England, or Britain, same thing, but it is so hard to be son. I cannot go out as I please. I have to do whatever is expected of me. That's it. What is expected of you as priest, high priest? What is expected of you as anointed king? You have to do it. There is no choice. The only way it cannot become onerous is when you practice sonship. That's how it works. Right? It's the same thing. I mean, you take a look. Many people don't realize the opposite of sonship is fatherhood. Right? The parents cannot spend all their life. Why? So that they can provide for the children. Right? You wish you can do whatever you wish. You can't simply because you have to set aside for the son. You have to be there for the son. So it's the same commitment. It takes as much to be a father as to be a son. So you've got to balance the two together very, very carefully. Right? And so this is something that we need to look at. So he had to learn to... So the father says, well, I need you to learn obedience. Can you learn it? Now that's interesting. So today one father wrote to me, he said, I must help my son to learn what it means to be a son. You know, he does this, he does that, and I'm trying to help him. I say, yes, go easy. It requires him to wake up at 5 o'clock. It's not so easy. To be careful. Right? So this is where we have to ask ourselves, how do we teach this? How do we preach sonship? What is the best and the most important lesson that any father can teach a son? Not pass PSLE with 300 points. That's not the point. The key word is sonship. The problem is we don't know how to practice sonship the way we should. But this is vital for us to consider. Okay? He learned obedience. He learned by the things he suffered. Sometimes we feel with privation, I cannot do this, I'm suffering. Well, then learn from suffering. That is part of sonship too. Think about these things here, right? Then we read in Philippians 2 on sonship, right? I don't want a reputation. No need a reputation. Let me be a servant. And it's pretty amazing. See, everybody wants to make his mark. Everybody wants to be remembered for one famous saying. And then you say, well, I don't have a famous saying. I must come up with a famous saying so that I can be quoted for one saying. If you are only known for one saying, it's not much either. See, but everybody wants to make his mark, to be distinctive. I want to do this. I want to make my mark. Jesus is the exact opposite. I don't need to make my mark. Let me serve the Father. That is sonship. It's an amazing, amazing concept. So he practiced obedience even if it means that he would die there. See, this is something that we need to look at. So we have Hebrews 5, we have Philippians 2, we have the book of Psalms as well, and they all describe together the concept of sonship. So how do we practice sonship in our own life today? Now, this is something that we have to ask ourselves in terms of life and of ministry. What is it that we want to consider? And the challenge, as always, is to grow. There's no other way. Sonship is not something you're born with. Right? Sonship is not something that you want to just simply, okay, I must. It's not easy. Just like we talked about, yes, last night we talked about learning to trust, learning to be patient, and so on and so forth. You know, when you are not patient, get on the road. Okay, and there is a person who is driving in front of you ever as if the person is attending driving at a funeral slowly. And you swing to the right. So sorry, but I had to swing. I've got to be here. And in front of you is a van who is just as slow. So you switch back. See, switch back and forth. And not very patient. So this evening, I told Ben Kwa, I will see you at 6:30. So I leave in pretty good time to be here at 6:30 until I met this older man. I don't know whether he's older than me, but he was driving very slowly all the time. Drum, turn right, stuck, turn left, still behind him. What was my problem? See, trust, rest, not easy to practice. How do you know you're practicing enough? When you get into the car, onto the road, you begin to realize, not easy. What does God want me to learn? Sonship. Still. See, that's a challenge. Would you do whatever you want to do? What can you do it? Can you learn obedience? Can you learn to be patient? Can you just right, whatever it is, learn to be. And that the key word is to keep growing. And you begin to realize, actually, none of us are very, very patient. Am I patient? No. I would be the first person to tell you, I am not patient with myself. I am not patient. I don't honk people. Okay, just because I don't honk doesn't mean I'm not honking inside. That is my problem. See, in India, they use the horn very freely. One day, one trip, they will honk about 100 times. Honk. When they get out on the road, honk. Even in no cars, honk. It's a habit, you know. The honk person is on the left, on the people honk you, it's all right. Why you honk? It is a funny thing. When you honk people, and people honk you, they look at you. What's wrong with you? See, that is our problem. We have become really, really, very much more impatient than we realize. What does God want us to learn? Learn sonship. And all the time, when we don't learn it well enough, those problems in the past get to us. How do you learn compassion? Sonship. How do you learn humility? How do you learn obedience? How do you stay the course? Sonship. And it is not easy to be there, literally. So there are lots and lots of challenges that we have to ask ourselves. So we are planning, hopefully, reach out to people. Chinese New Year, during the mid-autumn things, reaching out to people. What is it that we want people to see? Sonship. What we want people to see, people understand, this is what we mean when we are children of God, sons of God. We are different from the rest of the world because we practice sonship. Rather than, here, I give you a gospel, would you like to play golf as well? Where is the sonship? I mean, seriously, I mean, you just think about it. What is it all about? It's really, to me, quite an unnecessary thing. The question and the challenge is, how do we practice sonship? And it's not an easy thing to understand. But the key word is to grow. How do we grow? See, growth is a funny thing. At any point of time, you can grow wrong. At any time, you can grow off. Or stop growing. Stagnate. Either way, that is a problem. So sonship is something you grow in your life. So all the time, you may become skillful, but still sonship. You see the challenge of it all? See, it's not an easy thing. And so when we look at older folks, we look at older people, and sometimes we just think, oh, don't. A key word is sonship. And it is not an easy thing to practice at any time. See, when you are young, we all understand sonship. Okay, this is what you need to do. When you become a teenager, being a son becomes very difficult. Why do I need to have all these constraints and restraints? When you become an adult, it becomes even tougher. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Right? And when you become more mature in your ways, older in age, it is even harder then to practice sonship. The beauty of it all is the Lord Jesus Christ practiced sonship in every sense of the word. Why did he come out to minister? He come out to serve the Lord as a teenager. He would be a, I don't know whether you in the internet you come across really funny statements. There was one church that was touting the youngest preacher in ever. How young is young? So I read it. They are portraying him as the youngest preacher because he is so true, because he is so genuine, he is so sincere, he is so everything, and he is a total of 3 years old. Are you serious? So he's dressed in a jacket, he's dressed in a tie, he carries a Bible. This is our... Are you serious? It's a sad reality. I still remember the story when one of our church members over in Perth was dying. I spoke to her. And they said, look, don't you think you ought to? This is advanced cancer. And she says, no, that's not true. God can help me, and I believe in God. I have faith in God. So I said, where do you get your faith from? You see, that is a young boy. He is autistic. He is 8 years old. And he says to me, Auntie, I see you walking again. You are healed. 8 years old. And everybody thought he was a wonder. He was a special prophet of God. I told her, you will die. And your life is going to be very sadly terminated because she's younger than me. And what is breast cancer is the most treatable of all a lot of cancers. No need. I just drink this special water and I will be cleansed from this thing here. You know, and this prophecy, this child is so innocent, he's so pure, he's so innocent, God speaks through him. So the family said to me, Pastor, thank you, we hear you, but I think we follow the other side better. She died a few months later. Before she died, she called me and said, Pastor, can you please come over? I want to say my last few words to you. So I flew over, understood her request, and sought to fulfill her last wishes. But she died. This 8-year-old prophet. There was another lady whom I ministered to, the same problem, but she had stomach cancer. Same problem. Sonship is not a matter of age. If you're young, you're sweet, you're innocent, therefore you're good. Real sonship is you grow up, you are 30, you are 40, you are 50, you are 60, you are 70, and you still practice sonship. This is sonship of Jesus. And it is not an easy thing to practice sonship. So please do not think that sonship means that you are a dummy. You know, you cannot think, you only think like a child for the rest of your life. No. You have come on your own now. You are now mature. You are now high priest. You are now king. You are now anointed. But you are never less than son. That is the hardest thing ever. See, this is something that is very, very, very important. I have a friend who used to be, I don't know whether he still is, but he was the chief plastic surgeon at SGH. And so he said, I finished 2 rounds of leading in my department. I'm really supposed to step down and somebody has to take over my work as head of plastic surgery. So I said, well, how do you feel? He said, actually, I'm quite relieved. I am looking for somebody to take over. I said, why? You see, I've got a lot of young surgeons, you know. Those whom I train, and they all become hotshot surgeons, and they now come and tell me why I'm no good, why I'm wrong, although I am their chief. Can it happen? Oh, unfortunately, yes. Right? Unfortunately, this is how it is. Many, many, many things like that happen. Sometimes we forget ourselves. In the brilliance of what we do, in the age that we have, the experience we have, we forget this word called sonship. And so it is important. So every Chinese New Year, we practice sonship. We go and practice and greet people. We go down there and greet people humbly. We greet people, genuinely, rather than, And that's how it is. Unfortunately, and they all make jokes, you know, and Happy New Year, and where's the ang pao kind of a thing here, then, and we make it a joke. Where is sonship? It's with humility we practice sonship. And humility is something to be learned in life, through experiences, through trials, through suffering, you name it, that sonship thing must be carefully understood. So when Jesus reached out the way he did, what drove him? Sonship. Was he tired? Yes. That's why he went to rest on board ship. Because he was tired. Why? Morning. Get up in the morning. Late at night. Still working. Of course, physically, you'll be tired. Why would he do it? Sonship. Why would he get up the next morning, do the same thing? Sonship. So this is every morning when you get down to do my treadmill run, or walk, whichever, jog, whatever. Why do I do it? Keep on remembering. Sonship. I must do my part. So Pastor Chris just wrote to me, our friend there, William Lau, just suffered a heart attack. So they check, all arteries blocked. Immediately stents. And then after that, could have planned for bypass. It's my age. To another one, Andy, same hospital, my age. And so I wrote to him, reminder, I am going to pound my treadmill again tomorrow morning. Why? Sonship. I am not training to race with the Kenyan marathoner walker. I am not training to try to beat him. I never will succeed. Not going to do that, obviously. Right? But I am going to do my part. Not because I want to live forever, but because it is part of sonship. I hope you understand. So whatever work I need to do, I have to remind myself, this is what I need to do, son. Maybe a pastor for many years, but still, in eyes of God, son. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. So I have to practice that very, very carefully. As I must. Question, sonship. Right? Now, I hope you understand why Jesus did what he did. What was he trying to teach people as he served? Be the Son of God. Be the Son of Man. Be whatever you need to be. So he stayed as a carpenter until he was 30 years of age. He has fulfilled what he has fulfilled. And then he stepped up and began a public ministry. In the meantime, he has to work to support the family. That is sonship too, son of Joseph. Of course. Right? So there he is. He was son of man. He had a thing to fulfill as man. He was son of God. He had a lot of things to fulfill. He was high priest. He was king. He wore many titles to everyone. What was key was sonship. Right? And if we can practice this, it will stand us in good stead. It will see us constantly. Let me do this because I love God the Father. I do this because I must. And that is how sonship works. And it's not easy because sometimes we are conflicted inside. Oh, this is not, of course it's not easy, but we still practice sonship. And the moment we understand sonship, all this conflict will just wash over us and let it go. This is how Jesus sustained his ministry to so many people every single day of his life. Literally, sonship. Huh? Think about this. Okay? Now, we're not going to be able to meet next week because of Chinese New Year. Week after, we'll be in Myanmar. So here's wishing you all happy sonship Chinese New Year. Practice it. Seriously. And really enjoy that very, very, very much. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to understand sonship. We pray that you will help us to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will teach us until this principle, this truth, becomes a real part of us. And we pray that you will help us to learn what we would need to learn until we have mastered this. It may be always a part of the way we serve, the way we practice ministry, the way we care for people in our church, reaching out to people. We pray that you will help us to understand us as people who seek to be true sons of God. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here. So the Lord's blessings and a happy new year.